Good morning. The word of the Lord that I would consider with you this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verses 31 to 34, as well as verse 41. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from Me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." We pray. Lord, to whom else shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Amen. Children of God, how's your preparation coming? For Judgment Day, I mean. Are you ready? Preparation is something that's very important in our lives. If we want to do well at things, you've got to spend some time preparing. If you want to get a good grade on a test, you spend some time preparing. Maybe you cram the night before to get that A. Basketball season is here. You've been preparing for that as well. Getting in shape, learning the plays, getting your shot back so that you can have a good season. In every area of our life, if we want to achieve our goals, we got to spend time preparing. So what about Judgment Day? How do you prepare for that? I mean, the goal is heaven, right? Eternal life, joy with the Father. But how do you get ready for that? As always, we turn to the Word of God this morning to see how God prepares for Judgment Day and how we then can be prepared as well. You might wonder, what do you mean God prepared for Judgment Day? He's perfect, right? It's not like He could have gone to hell or He could go to hell. What did He have to prepare for? And yet, it's really the only thing that He has been doing since the beginning of the world. Since before the beginning of the world, He's always had this one desire: to wipe away every trace of sin from this world, to wipe away every tear from our eyes, to gather His children into His arms, and to take us to be with Him forever. But He knew that there would be a problem. He knew that we would be the reason that His preparation would be necessary because of our sins. Because we would be at enmity with Him every day by our thoughts, our words, and actions. He knew that on our own, we would fail the test. The test? Yeah, there's going to be a test. You're familiar with the verses, near the verses that we read for our text this morning. They talk about a test. And when you think about your life and compare it with those guidelines, you can't feel very prepared. After all, have you always visited prisoners, comforted the sick, welcomed strangers, given food, clothing, drink, shelter to anybody who needed it, not just once or twice, but all the time. And not so others would see your good works, but out of love for your Savior? Of course, the answer is no. Left on our own, we would fail God's test every time. Without God, we would be condemned. And so, our loving God sprang into action. He created a plan, and He executed it perfectly. Martin Luther talks of this plan. He says, "But God beheld my wretched state before the world's foundation, and mindful of His mercies great, He planned my soul's salvation. A father's heart He turned to me, sought my redemption fervently. He gave His dearest treasure, His Son." The Son of God, who, as our text says, would one day come in glory on the clouds of heaven with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, came first in silent humility, wrapped in dirty rags, laid in coarse straw. This was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the one through whom God prepared a way for all people to be saved, the one whose perfect life perfectly fulfilled God's test, and who then credits it to you and to me. The one whose blood flows from Calvary, a river of free grace, full forgiveness for all people. 1 Corinthians says it well. eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. The wonderful truth here is that God loved us so much that he predestined us to be his own. And when the fullness of time had come, he executed his plan perfectly. This is how God prepares for Judgment Day, by sending Jesus, by sending his Spirit to create faith in your Savior, in his Word. What about you and me? How do we prepare? Well, there are really two ways that people prepare for Judgment Day. The first is by far the most common, and it's the way of works. Whether by going to do penance, or basing your hope of salvation on some decision to believe that you've made, or some feeling or some experience within yourself, there are many, both within and outside of the Christian church, who try to prepare themselves for Judgment Day, who turn away from their Savior. They're trying to wipe off the muck of their sin with their own weak, work-righteous rags, and it won't work. It can't work. And yet, how often don't we do the same thing? There's a million different ways that we do it. By trying to hide our sinfulness, putting on a show of self-piety so others will think we're some great Christians. By thinking that we'll be saved simply because we go to church, or because our parents believe, or because we think that we worship more zealously than somebody else does. It won't work. We cannot wipe off our sinfulness with our own rotten rags. Jesus says in the text about those who try to prepare themselves for Judgment Day that they are cursed. Jeremiah tells us a little more. He says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." If we try to prepare ourselves for that day by even the smallest thing we do, no matter how great you think it is, we'll be lost. We'll be left standing in front of Jesus the King, naked in our sinfulness, with no hope, with no defense, with no plan of escape. Hopeless. What then is the answer? What are we to do? Simply put, nothing. Jesus has done it all. This wonderful truth is impressed upon us in our text by the difference between the believers and the unbelievers. It's in two words, blessed and cursed. We heard that those who are cursed because of their own sin, because they turn away from Jesus, try to prepare themselves for that day, and then all that God has left to look upon is their own sinfulness. But what about those who are blessed? What about you and me? Did we do something to earn this blessing? Of course not. It's passive word. It means that God poured out the riches of his grace upon us without us doing a single thing. Think about that wonderful sentence that you will one day hear your Savior say to you, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." There's not a single thing in that sentence that you do. The "come" we refer to as a gospel imperative. It's something that God gives us the strength to respond to. We know that we can't come to Jesus on our own. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. You who are blessed, that we are recipients of his grace, of his plan of salvation. Inherit. Well, it's the Son who inherits. God has made us sons, children of God, by his grace, so that we receive that kingdom. A kingdom which was prepared before the foundation of the world, before you and I were born, before we did anything good or bad or had a chance to earn anything from God. It's a kingdom whose riches are beyond measure. The entrance fee to which is nothing more than a white robe prepared lovingly for you by Jesus Christ, by his perfect life and his innocent death in your place, by his Spirit who works faith in your heart through the Word day by day. Indeed, he prepared it all. Blessed is God, Jesus really is coming. There really will be a test, and you really can't prepare for it. No number of down-back-downs, or no number of hours spent cramming the night before, even if you knew when Judgment Day was going to happen, can possibly prepare you for that day. But you can be confident, because Jesus has done it all for you. God's preparation prepares you for that day. So you can hear him say to you, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen. We'll sing of that in hymn 387, verses 4 and 8.